You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm your host, Lisa Hale. Top of the morning to you. It's St. Patrick's Day on Monday, and with it, celebrations of all kinds. But one Northeast Wisconsin city takes its Irish festivities to the next level. Terry Barr introduces us to the group behind the shenanigans, and in our cover story, we'll learn why this long-standing tradition continues to grow every year. It's coming up in about 20 minutes. Do you think you know the history of St. Patrick? Really know the history? Well, Amanda Nimmer has some facts that might surprise you. Prepare to be shocked. We also have stories for you today on the pothole season. There's no blarney. Blame spring for the rough roads and what you should know about it. Plus how business imposters are trying to get your green money, that is, and what you can do. Sports memorabilia is a big business, and we have a look inside of a popular auction and how it actually works. And we'll also give you the information on how you can give blood and get a free A1C check for diabetes this month. Why both are important. And Oshkosh Pride gets a municipal sponsor. Plus, of course, we have Pete Schwabo with his classic cinema pick of the week. Then later, we feature the unique sounds of the Stapletons and why their sea shanty features places you should know. And if you don't, you'll want to. First, we're opening up this issue of New Wisco Weekend by giving you an in-depth look into what your lawmakers call town hall meetings. This week, U.S. Representative Tony Weed spent just under 60 minutes answering questions from constituents during a telephone town hall meeting Monday night. Weed is the Republican representative from the 8th Congressional District, which covers a large portion of New Wisco. 7th Congressional District Congressman Tom Tiffany was a guest at the event and answered questions right alongside Weed. The congressman answered about a dozen questions from constituents on subjects such as Social Security, border security, Second Amendment rights, and veterans' benefits. One of the topics they tackled is Medicare and Medicaid. The House Energy and Commerce Committee has been directed to cut $880 billion to make way for $4.5 trillion in tax cuts that the Trump administration wants. Some reports say this cannot be done without making cuts to Medicare and Medicaid, which make up the lion's share of the funding from that committee. One caller asked the congressman what they would do to protect Medicaid and Medicare from drastic cuts. Both congressmen said they want to protect the program. They also each implied that there are people on Medicaid who don't need to be. Congressman Tony Weed.
But I think, it also means taking a serious look at reforms like, work requirements for able-bodied, working-aged, childless adults, and making sure that, of course, those that aren't citizens aren't on Medicaid, because we just don't have the funds for that.
Tiffany echoed that sentiment.
Medicaid was put in place to protect, people with disabilities, pregnant women, children from poor families. That's who that was meant for. And now we've seen a lot of people get on it that are able-bodied adults, that they can work. Do we want them getting their health care from the federal government, from you, the taxpayer? Wouldn't it be better if they had a job and they probably got their health care via their employer rather than getting it from the taxpayer?
Weed said looking for waste, fraud, and abuse and other discretionary spending in the budget is where the cuts should be made.
And, I want to be very, very clear that my goal is to protect Medicaid for the most vulnerable Americans, which is what it was intended for. And it's very important that we protect that, which is why I'm so passionate about rooting out the waste in all of the other discretionary spending.
Speaking of waste, fraud, and abuse, another caller asked about the wide range of cuts being made by the Department of Government Efficiency. Weed supports Elon Musk's efforts, but claims that he and other legislators are running the complaints they've received from constituents up the chain of command.
Elon Musk's been very successful in business. And he is someone that is very good at big budgets and finding efficiencies. So President Trump is in charge. He is our president. He is making the decisions. Elon Musk has not fired anybody. Doge has not fired anybody. That would be done through the agencies if they were to make that decision.
He then added,
you know, the whole role of the Department of Government Efficiency is to streamline the government's outdated and bloated systems. And that's to save, again, save things like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Many Republican lawmakers have faced protests, booing, and antagonistic questions during in-person town hall events and appearances following the extreme cuts and measures of the Donald Trump administration. Last week, the National Republican Congressional Committee Chairman Rich Hudson advised GOP lawmakers to stop conducting in-person events. Weed has said the telephone town hall will be the format he uses in the future.
Good morning from New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS.
Now on New Wisco Weekend, a look at business imposters. I saw a lot of this happening when Joanne Fabrics announced that they were going out of business. Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz has more.
Businesses find different ways to interest consumers into buying a product they are selling. Sometimes the company reaching out to consumers is not who they say they are. Michelle Reinen is with the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
Companies sometimes contact customers to pitch their products at a reduced price, and you're usually an active customer for them to do that, and they will offer you additional benefits. But these pitches are also used by scammers who are impersonating real companies, and consumers might get a call, a text, or email offering to lower their bill or upgrade their current services at reduced rates. And we've certainly had one circulating in our state pretty heavily recently. They want to say, in order for you to receive this discounted rate, consumers could be asked for information like an account number, your PIN number, and payment information. And then once that scammer gets that information, what can happen is they can contact the real company, impersonate you, and then try and steal even more of your data or make fraudulent purchases in your name and reroute the services from the consumer paying for them to the scammer. That account takeover situation.
There is a business imposter who claims to be a service provider that many individuals use.
We've had a recent imposter of Spectrum circulating in our state. It's been across the country, actually, that it's been reported, and scammers are impersonating Spectrum, making claims with consumers that they need to provide private information over the phone. This is also by text and by email, and that they need to pay money, and usually they're saying cryptocurrency, gift cards, or a banking app, and that they have to reship a package from Spectrum mistakenly delivered to them, so use a shipping label that they're going to provide. So there's lots of different twists to this, and Spectrum does have information on their website about these scammers that are out there impersonating them.
If anyone receives suspicious calls from Spectrum or any company, it is best to contact them yourself to verify it is them before giving them any information or money. Michelle Reinen says that another scammer that contacts consumers around this time of year is someone claiming to be from Publishers Clearinghouse. If you have been contacted by or been scammed by a business imposter, you can contact DATCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcaphotline@wi.gov. From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
There's a tear in your eye, and I'm wondering why, for it never should be there at all.
When New Wisco Weekend's Amanda Nimmer tackles a subject, you can pretty much guarantee that you're going to find out something interesting. Here she is with her look at St. Patrick's Day.
You're thinking about St. Patrick lately, aren't you? I mean, how could you not? It's his little holiday that's coming up, you know? Good old St. Patty, chasing the snakes out of Ireland. Ah, what a hero. But guess what? St. Patrick? He's not Irish. He's actually technically British. He was born back when it was called Roman Britain, you know, when it was ruled by the Romans. And guess what? His name wasn't even Patrick. It was Maywin Sakat. Yeah. And, you know, if you look into the history of St. Patrick, it's honestly kind of fascinating because, and people are going to think this is straight out of a children's book, he was kidnapped by pirates, Irish pirates. when he was just 16 years old, and this actually shaped him. It was a fundamental part of his life that led him into spiritual development, but it doesn't even stop there. So, you see, he escaped these pirates and managed to convince a ship captain to take him back to Britain, where he was reunited with his family, and then he kind of went into the whole, you know, Catholic Christianity thing, of which when he became a saint, he changed his name to Patrick. But Amanda, why did he go back to Ireland? Irish pirates kidnapped him, for crying out loud. That's a good question. And the answer is simply Christianity. See, when everyone talks about, oh, St. Patrick, he chased all the snakes out of Ireland, he's a hero, they weren't actual snakes. They were druids and pagans. See, Ireland at the time, most of its religion was paganism. They lived off the land, they believed off the land, it was what they knew. And having lived among them and learning that in his slave days, he decided to bring the good faith of Christianity to many parts of Ireland. And he did so successfully. Now, the day that is St. Patrick's Day was actually a pagan holiday, which is no surprise because if you look into aspects of history, a lot of holidays that are considered Christian to many today technically were pagan holidays beforehand, but that's neither here nor there. So originally, before the conversion to Christianity, Ostara was celebrated. It celebrates the spring equinox, the equal balance between light and day, the shifting of seasons. And the Christian church sort of strategically placed the feast celebrating St. Patrick becoming his saint around the same day. And it's now known as St. Patrick's Day and took precedent over Ostara. And present day, traditionalists or paganisms who like to reflect on Ireland's ancient traditions call St. Patrick's Day All Snakes Day. Regardless of which one you choose to celebrate, in the end, through the method of modernization, St. Patrick's Day is truly more about celebrating and honoring the Irish than the saint. But before I leave you, I have one more fact for you, because everyone associates St. Patrick's Day with green. For Ireland, the fun fact is he actually wore blue. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer. There you go. And when Irish eyes are smiling, sure they
When we come back, Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week, and a little later, our cover story focuses in on one of the best St. Patrick's Day celebrations in the state. It's so good, it's now a week long. And as we go to a quick break, a new Harris poll shows 85% of Americans will partake in some type of St. Patrick's Day fun this year. This includes half of those surveyed saying food, like corned beef and cabbage, is the best part. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
This is New Wisco Weekend on your local Civic Media radio stations, WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, sports memorabilia is a big business, and Conrad Krieger tells us all about it. Later, after the cover story, it's pothole season. But first, here's Pete Schwabba with his classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
Last week's classic movie pick was one of Gene Hackman's lesser-known films. And we continue the theme this week with one of Martin Scorsese's lesser-known but critically acclaimed films that have nothing to do with the mafia, but everything to do with the streets of New York at night. 1986's After Hours takes us back to a night in the life of Paul Hackett, a computer programmer bored with the mundane as his day consists of work and going home to watch TV in his little apartment, until he meets Marcy, a coffee shop waitress played by Rosanna Arquette. Paul convinces Marcy to give him her phone number, and later that night he decides to venture out into Manhattan for what will be the strangest night of his life, especially after his $20 bill flies out of the taxi cab and he is left in Manhattan with no money and forced to rely on the help of strangers.
What is wrong with you? Are you all right? I have had a terrible, terrible night. Do you understand?
I'm just trying to entertain you.
I don't want any entertainment. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry. I'm under. Oh, God. I'm unable to get home tonight, you know? I can't get home. And I'm trying desperately to find a place where I can stay tonight. Just sleep. All I want to do is sleep. There is a place on Spring Street. I could stay there, but I don't want to.
Yeah, why not?
Why not what?
Why aren't you there? There's a place on Spring Street. Go.
Because a bartender who lives there, his girlfriend, killed herself tonight. And I think it's because of me.
I see. That's out then.
That's right. That's out. That is out. That is not a possibility.
After Hours can be exhausting at times to watch, in a good way, of course, because we identify with Paul Hackett. But it's also hilarious as Griffin Dunne plays a perfect everyman just trying to be less lonely. The film is brilliantly cast from top to bottom and includes the late Terry Garr, Catherine O'Hara, who was in the clip we just heard, Cheech and Chong, Linda Fiorentino, and of course, a cameo by the director himself, Martin Scorsese. Scorsese creates an oddball world on this New York night that goes on forever for his main character. Griffin Dunne is a product of New York society life and knows the world really well, which allows him to play a very relatable access character in Paul Hackett. He is also credited as a producer on After Hours. His other notable film as an actor is 1981's An American Werewolf in London. Dunne still acts and has built a career as a producer and director as well. You probably know Martin Scorsese from such works as, well, being Martin Scorsese, one of Hollywood's most legendary directors who has made over 80 films and is still churning out critically acclaimed films like the Oscar-nominated Killers of the Flower Moon. After Hours must have been a nice diversion for Scorsese, who had already made both Godfathers, Taxi Driver, and Mean Streets. Griffin Dunne wanders those same streets in After Hours. They just aren't as mean, just weirdly fun. After Hours will give you a good laugh. Hope you enjoyed this week's Classic Movie Pick of the Week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabe.
The sports industry isn't just about games and scores. There's a whole business behind merchandising and memorabilia. New Wisco Weekend's Conrad Krieger gets the details on memorabilia auctions.
Have you ever wondered how memorabilia gets collected and is put up for auction and could find its way to a catalog? Like classic baseball cards, autographed jerseys, or even pictures. Tony Giese from Heritage Auctions out of Dallas shares how being a cataloger turned into his dream job.
I love my job. We get to deal with sports memorabilia on a daily basis. Get to do shows. I still write auctions. So, I feel very, very fortunate working here and doing what I do. And, you know, the funny thing was when I was going to college, I never thought of this as being a job. I never knew that it existed. I went to I was in college at UW Green Bay, went to the 1999 National Sports Convention, the biggest show I had ever been to in my life. It was in Chicago, but I never put two and two together and thought of doing this as a job. I didn't know that it even existed. So, yeah, very, very fortunate.
Giese explains that it took a risk to be where he's at in his job.
You don't want to look back someday, 10 years down the line, and say, why didn't I do it? Why didn't I try it? And I figured if I didn't like it, I could move back home. I loved it. When I first started, it was writing auctions. So I knew Packer stuff well, but I didn't necessarily know some of the archaic, some of the Hall of Famers, some of the old baseball Hall of Famers, but you live it, breathe it, literally 24/7 every single day of your life. You learn things, you learn prices. I used to study catalogs, study prices, and it kind of sinks in after a while. And you see these autographs daily of some of these, you know, you could, Mickey Mantle. I will never forget when I first started working in this hobby, in this industry, I had a guy tell me, you'll be sick of seeing Mickey Mantle autographs in 6 months. I still enjoy it.
What's the best piece of memorabilia Giese has seen?
It was about 7-8 years ago. First real NFL commissioner was Joe Carr. And I had a junk collector call me who had Joe Carr's scrapbook. And at first I'm like, okay, well, how do I know this guy's actually real? And they sent photos. They sent photos of some of these, of the earliest NFL championship tickets and these great press passes from like the early 20s up till up till he died in, I think, 39. But some of these have never been offered before. But he had these beautiful 8x10 photos made out to Joe Carr. So there's a George Halas, who is a good autograph, but there were two Tim Meriz, who was the founder of the New York Giant football team, and he is almost an impossible signature. So this guy was a junk collector, didn't have a car. He rode around the neighborhood, and somebody was bringing up the trash, and they had this beautiful scrapbook with the earliest NFL championship tickets I had ever seen. Many of them, there's never been another one unearthed, and it was like opening up a time capsule. And I think at the end, it was about $200,000, $220,000 for everything.
A piece of memorabilia that has never been found? An Acme Packers jersey.
To my knowledge, one has never been found. Packers had a couple fires through the years, but I've never heard of one. And if one ever did come out, I mean, it would be $250,000. It would have to be.
That was Tony Giese, cataloger for Heritage Auctions in Dallas, who joined Mino and the Mayor weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. For New Wisco Weekend Sports, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling.
Diabetes is common, but some people don't even know that they have it. Melissa Kay tells us how you can find out for free while helping to save lives by donating blood.
One third of Americans lack access to regular doctor visits in the U.S. 1 in 10 people have diabetes, and nearly a quarter of those are undiagnosed. The American Red Cross is working to help inform those who don't have access to regular care by offering free diabetes testing to donors during the month of March. The free A1C testing screens for diabetes and pre-diabetes. This valuable information can help you maintain your health and well-being. You can schedule a donation in March to receive this free testing by visiting redcrossblood.org or by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Melissa Kay.
Or when the valley's hushed and white with snow.
Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, it's time for our cover story. They've been doing it for years. How changing one Northeast Wisconsin city's name has grown its St. Patrick's Day celebration from one day to 1 week. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so.
This is New Wisco Weekend. Thanks for joining us on WISS or WGBW. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Now we flip the page to our cover story. There are St. Patrick's Day celebrations around Northeast Wisconsin through the weekend. We also found a few in Oshkosh continuing on Monday the 17th and even Tuesday. But one city takes its celebration to the next level, and it has for years. New London is about 40 miles west of Green Bay, and our Terry Barr talks with one of the organizers about what makes this gathering so special.
The mischief is about to begin when the leprechauns change the city signs of New London to New Dublin. And joining me to tell me all about it, Ryan Lanning. And Ryan is part of the Shamrock Club. You're the ones behind this whole thing, aren't you, Ryan?
That's correct.
What is it about New London becoming New Dublin that is such a tradition?
It started over 40 years ago, and it's just been a tradition ever since that on the Monday of our St. Patrick's Week, we always have Leprechaun Day, and the leprechauns are responsible for changing the population signs symbolically from New London to New Dublin. And then they visit various schools, nursing homes, and basically everywhere they go and visit everybody, get them excited and pumped up for the week and start getting things ready.
You have a countdown clock on your website too, which every time I look at your website, it gets me excited about what you guys are about to do. How excited are people sort of leading up to what they know you'll do in the exchange of the signs, but then also knowing you go to schools and all these other visits that the leprechauns make? I love that.
Extremely excited. You know, we bring smiles more than anything, and we like to enlighten our community. That's part of what we're about. And truthfully, I think everybody looks forward to seeing us, seeing the green suits and all the mischief and shenanigans we like to pull. There will be plenty of them to be had on Monday, that's for sure. It's just a great time for everybody.
What can you tell me about this tradition of New London becoming New Dublin? What is the correlation there between the two?
I just think that the names sound very similar, but the whole festivity started as an idea that turned into a festival. And some of our founding members 40 years ago decided that they were going to get together one of the local establishments in downtown New London, New Dublin. And with them, they brought food and drink and Irish music, and they had a grand time and walked up and down downtown New Dublin and celebrated their Irish heritage. And next year, more people wanted to join. And soon after, more people. And then somebody had an idea for a parade. Somebody had an idea we should have a tent for people to go to after the parade. And then the rest of the week's festivities evolved from there. An idea that turned into a festival.
This isn't just St. Patrick's Day. You guys celebrate in, and I got to say it right, New Dublin. The celebration continues all week. Everybody must be exhausted by the end of the week, but what a great time. Tell me about it.
So Tuesday is Hooligan Day, and all the establishments in town serve corned beef and cabbage and help celebrate Irish again. And you know, maybe some establishments have green beer. I'm sure one serves at least one green beer during the week. But it's just a great way to get the community involved in all the establishments to help serve corned beef and cabbage and get into the swing of things. And then Wednesday is Irish caroling at St. Joe's at 5 o'clock. We meet in the lobby and one of our members will lead it and they bring song sheets and we walk around St. Joe's, which is an assisted living residence. And we walk around visiting the patients and we sing Irish carols to them. So it's a good time. You don't need to know the words because we supply the sheet music. Thursday is the Irish Entertainment Fest Dignitary Acknowledgement. We meet at New London High School, and then we have all different Irish dancers and singers and performers that do all different things, waltzes, and we acknowledge all our dignitaries. They all get acknowledged. They get all their gifts and so forth, and they get to speak if they want to. So then Friday is our Irish Ceilidh at Crystal Falls at 7 o'clock. And what an Irish Ceilidh is, it's an Irish dance, and you don't need to know how to do them. That's the best part. We hire a band and a caller. And they play Irish waltzes and dances and jigs, and they teach you how to do them. So you don't even have to know how to do them. And the event is free, but donations are appreciated. You can come and watch too. That's perfectly fine. Saturday is our main event for the week, and that's our Irish Grand Parade and Irish Fest. So the parade starts at 1 o'clock and it runs from Pearl Street down to Water Streets in downtown New Dublin. We're going to have over 100 units. We have two bagpipe bands. We have the Jolly Giant Stilt Walkers. They look like people walking on these stilts in the middle of the sky. You know, it's kind of cool. You know, we're going to have Echoes of Camp Randall. We've got three or four high school bands. We've got Finnegan's Wake, which is a parody of an Irish funeral. What it is, it's a green hearse with people walking behind, and they do a skit. I'm not going to ruin it. I want you guys to come to see it. They do a skit, and it's really neat. It's fitting for an Irish parade. We put up a big heated tent in downtown New London in a parking lot at Festival Foods. The tent is open from 11 to 6 p.m. We're going to have three Gaelic bands. One is from 11 to 12:30, Seamus Fitzpatrick and the McNally Boys. Then 1 to 2:30 p.m., we have Band O'Barley. 3 to 6 p.m., the Scrubbers. It's $5 to get in. We have food and other drinks. We have Irish vendors. You get wristbanded for $5. You can come and go all day until 6 o'clock and have a grand time.
I am talking right now with Ryan Lanning. Ryan is with the Shamrock Club that puts on this incredible St. Patrick's Day and then Irish Festival when New London becomes New Dublin. Now, do you change your name during the week?
No, I don't. Still Ryan.
Okay, so let me ask you this. People who want to come, it seems like everyone becomes Irish for the week, even if they're really not. Is that sort of true?
Well, everybody's Irish on St. Patrick's Day, and that's fine by us. You know, come celebrate. Anybody can be Irish as far as we're concerned.
Okay, and I also saw the theme is all roads open to New Dublin. So what does that mean, and what are you hoping for this year?
What it means? Well, this last year, the city of New London redid their roads in downtown New London. So they're open now, and this is the first year we could use the new road. So that's where the theme came from, symbolizing the work that was done. So
that is perfect.
Come see the new roads.
And celebrate in New Dublin. Yes. For someone who has never been, why should they come to New Dublin?
Simply put, you don't have to be Irish to celebrate, but it really is a great time. It's pretty even keel. Parking's, you know, anywhere and everywhere you can find it. It's not real expensive to go in a tent. You can come and go all day. You'll see a sea of green, of people wearing green, everything, and maybe some orange and white. But, you know, people are laughing and smiling. Kids are grabbing candy, you know, from the parade. And it's really just a great family experience. And the tent is a lot of fun. There's so much to do in there. The bands are really good and they keep you entertained. And we have plenty of food and drink. And, you know, even when the tent's over, there's a shuttle running all throughout New London and Northport. Ooh. So in wee morning hours, and that's free. So you can hop on and hop off and go to the other establishments. And, you know, they're all probably going to be booking bands. So there's always stuff to do even after the tent's closed. So it's going to be a great time. So our website is newdublin.com. Our Facebook page is Shamrock Club of New Dublin. So you can find all our information on those sites and come out and celebrate with us.
Before I let you go, can you share any kind of greeting that's either a St. Patrick's Day greeting or an Irish greeting that maybe we should all know to get this whole thing started?
Other than top of the morning, they're always after me, Lucky Charms, they're magically delicious. I don't know. Really, I don't know that much Gaelic.
You sign off on your email with a word. What is that?
Salantia. Salantia, and that's Gaelic for health. Usually if you're in an Irish pub and you order a drink, the bartender, you could toast your neighbor to say the word salantia, and that's how you would toast your drink. It just means to health.
That sounds like a perfect way to end this. And let's say it again. Salantia.
Salantia.
Salantia. So salantia to you and everyone in New Dublin. Oh my gosh, this was so much fun. Ryan Lanning with the Shamrock Club. Ooh, he's got the work cut out to change New London to New Dublin and have this wonderful St. Patrick's Day and Irish Fest all through the next week. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And salantia to you too, Terry. Want to learn more about Irish Fest in New London? The website is newdublin.com.
All things Northeast Wisconsin. This is New Wisco Weekend on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
Oshkosh Common Council approved a resolution Tuesday night that will make the city a sponsor of Oshkosh Pride event scheduled to take place at the Leach Amphitheater in June. The vote to sponsor the nonprofit event was not unanimous. The vote was 5-2 for the sponsorship, with council members Paul Essinger and Jacob Flom voting against. According to the resolution, sponsoring Oshkosh Pride would require no city cash outlay, but would allow the nonprofit organization free use of the Leach Amphitheater. Oshkosh Pride is a nonprofit whose mission is to improve the mental health outcomes of the LGBTQ+ community in the area. The upcoming event will be the 4th annual Oshkosh Pride. Councilmember DJ Nichols gave the Common Council a brief history of Pride, how it celebrates a community no longer hiding in the shadows, and the history associated with it. He also said that supporting a non-revenue generating event makes sense.
And I think we can differentiate as a council between organizations that are profit generating, like Waterfest, and organizations that are trying to do something really good in our community for a group of people that might not otherwise have the chance to identify their community in Oshkosh, who their friends should be. And I think we do a really good job as a local government of not only ensuring that people have homes and houses, but making sure that they feel like that they're home too. And this event accomplishes that, and it wouldn't otherwise exist in a place like Oshkosh.
Oshkosh Deputy Mayor Carl Bulow says he's attended the past 3 Oshkosh Pride celebrations and is supporting the city being a sponsor.
As a cis, straight, white man here in town, I thought it was a fabulous celebration of love and caring about the community. It is so fun to see people in an element where they feel loved and enjoy what is going on around them is one of the coolest things that a person can be part of.
Council members Flom and Essinger each brought forward the argument of how the city would decide which events it would sponsor by allowing free use of the Leach Amphitheater as opposed to the events that it will charge use for.
I think this kind of opens up Pandora's box. Then we're deciding on who should and who should not have to pay fees. And that's a road we should not go down. I mean, if you allow this group to not pay the fees and the insurance, then, you know, where does it stop? Everyone will come forward and want that I guess, the right to have it then.
Flom called sponsoring Oshkosh Pride a mission creep of government. Both Flom and Essinger said they support the event itself, but not the city's sponsorship of it. Oshkosh's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee recommended that the city sponsor the Oshkosh Pride event. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale.
My wild Irish
rose. You may have the luck of the Irish if you've never experienced a flat tire after rolling over a pothole. It's the season for them. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains why.
The volatile ups and downs Wisconsin temperatures go through in spring can make anyone dizzy. It's a roller coaster ride, so no wonder it tears up the streets. Potholes are made primarily from water seeping into the pavement and weakening the soil underneath it. Now, this issue is exacerbated by the freeze-thaw cycle. Then heavy traffic adds to the wear and tear, accelerating the creation. And as asphalt ages, it cracks even easier and allows more water underneath it. So let's break it down. Potholes begin as tiny cracks and can expand from just a few inches deep and wide to be anywhere to a few feet wide and many inches deep, especially if they're not fixed fast. Now, potholes can show up on all types of roads, even in the South. Water truly has a way of eroding road surfaces under any climate conditions. But here for us, right now, with the warm days and below freezing nights, as the snow melts and the rain falls, the groundwater expands and contracts, causing potholes to be quite persistent. Think of it this way. When you're at home making ice cubes, you fill a water tray and you put it in the freezer. When you take it out, you'll see that the water expanded, right? Well, this is exactly what's happening as water goes underneath the pavement. It freezes, expands, starts bending and cracking the road. And when the frozen water melts, it leaves voids or gaps in the surface underneath it, which isn't good either. Then, we toss the weight of cars and trucks on top of that, it deteriorates. So expect them. Now, any driver who spots a pothole can report it to their county's highway department. And of course, more and more crews are expected to be out making repairs. So drivers need to be on the lookout for them, so slow down and move over if you see them. And if your car gets damaged from a pothole, unfortunately, the state or county is not liable for your damages. You're going to have to get a hold of your insurance company for that. So always concentrate while you're driving. Scan the road so you can spot a hole. Don't follow other cars too closely, especially on a rough road. And pay attention to water melting from a snowbank, because that can make it nearly impossible to see how deep and damaging the pothole really is. So now you know, the tug-of-war of temperatures doesn't only make us confused on what to wear each day, but it also starts to ruin our streets. A little bird once told me something like, spring showers bring flowers. I had to end it on a positive note. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau.
Coming up, a really cool little sea shanty featuring the Great Lakes with the Stapletons. This is New Wisco Weekend.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale. You know, we love musicians and sharing their unique sounds with you. Recently, the Stapletons were on the Mino and the Mayor show. Here's a little bit of their interview and the music.
All right. So I'm Kate Stapleton. I'm traveling with my husband, Casey Stapleton. We're driving along Lake Erie in Ohio. So along the snow belt, the lake effect snow belt part of Ohio, where they get dumped on from that shallow Great Lake. So we're headed up to the coast of Lake Michigan, to Door County, for a film festival where our film, inspired by the Great Lakes, is going to be premiering. So excited to come to Green Bay and play music. We have a harp and a 12-string guitar packed in our van, but we got stranded.
Well,
but we're on our way.
You got a ways to go. We sure enjoyed when you were here last time, but tell me about this short film or this film festival that you entered that.
Yeah, we entered this film festival. Ours is a 52-minute short film. It's called The Inner Sea. It was inspired by the Great Lakes and by our story. We play music together. We travel together. In the summer, we travel in a 40-foot-long bright blue school bus, which maxes out at about 55 miles per hour. So this feels like flying, comparatively.
Kate, you travel not just with your husband in that school bus. You bring the kids, don't you?
Yes, we have six kids, and we bring the kids with us everywhere.
Which one drives?
No stress there.
It's the right vehicle to have all the kids and the harp and the guitar.
I'm sorry. How do you get that harp on and off? Is it through the emergency exit doors?
No. So we can. I mean, it's pretty. The school bus door is pretty big, so we can just carry it on and off. It's about 5.5 feet tall, so it weighs about 50 pounds, so not too bad.
Oh.
So you can carry it up and down the steps.
Two questions. Are the kids part of your act? Do they sing Partridge Family, Von Trapps?
So they don't. They have not been in the show, but that is kind of, I think, it's a great question about the Von Trapps. One of the aspects of the movie that I made that's premiering this weekend is, I call it kind of a deconstructed Sound of Music, because we have six kids together, mm-hmm. but the movie is also about my daughter that I placed for adoption. So there are actually seven children. And she is an amazing musician in her own right. So the movie is a music documentary that features our music and her music. And we have played shows with her band. That's kind of what happens in the movie is we're traveling and then we come together and play this show. So like I say, it's kind of a deconstructed modern Sound of Music for sure. She grew up in California, but she came to college near where we live. We live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And so when she came to college, she was really involved with playing music at college, and we were already, you know, touring and playing music. So we had already connected, but music really brought us together and is a big part of the story that we tell in the movie. Great.
Kate, could you introduce this for us?
So this is a sailing song of the Great Lakes. We love this song because it was traditionally, it's one of the only songs that was written specifically about sailing out on the lakes. And what's really cool about this song is it's about the time when the ships were sailing out on the lakes with big sails, and they would race all the time, and they would race to get into port. This particular ship was a really heavy ship because it was transporting lumber, this big timber pieces, so it would wallow in the water, and it was really slow. And they finally wrote a song about how fast they were. So what's kind of fun about that is that all the ships that won all of the races have been forgotten, but this ship, the Bigler, is still remembered because they wrote a song about themselves.
Thank you very much.
And listen, a song I'll sing to you. It's all about the Bigler and of a jolly crew. In Milwaukee last October, a chance to get a sight on a schooner called the Bigler, belonging to Detroit. It was a Sunday morning, about the hour of 10. The robber Emma towed us to Lake Michigan. We set sail where she left us in the middle of the fleet. The wind blowing from the southward, oh, he gave a sheet.
Oh, watch her, catch her, jump up on a choo-choo. Give her the sheet, let her slide, the boys are pushing through. You ought to see us howling as the winds are blowing free. All the way to Buffalo from Milwaukee.
Whiskey, Ligurly, and Wabashanks, the entrance to the straits. We might have passed the big fleet there, but they'd have to wait. But we drove them on before us, the nicest you ever saw. Outward into Lake Huron, from the Straits of Mackinac.
Watch her, catch her, jump up on a choo-choo. Give her the sheet, let her slide, the boys will push her through. You ought to see us howling as the winds are blowing free. All the way to Buffalo from Milwaukee.
Decks to get in tow, and all of us fore and aft. She towed us down to Lake Sinclair and stuck us on the flats. She parted hundreds to line and trying to give relief. But stem and stern with the Bigler to the Maple Leaf.
Oh, watch her, catch her, jump up on a choo-choo. Give her the sheet and a slide, the boys will push her through. You ought to see us howling as the winds are blowing free. All the way to Buffalo from Milwaukee.
And now we're safely landed in Buffalo Creek at last. And under Riggs Elevator, the Bigler shoes made fast. And in some lager beer saloon, we'll let the bottle pass.
We're all jolly shipmates, let's raise a social blast. Oh, watch her, catch her, jump up on a choo-choo. Give her the sheet and let her slide, the boys will push her through. You ought to see us howling as the winds are blowing free.
you. Give it a shield and slide, the boys are pushing through. You ought to see us howling as the winds are blowing free, all the way to Buffalo from Milwaukee. Butcher, catch her, jump up on a choo-choo. Give it a shield and slide, the boys are pushing through. You ought to see us howling as the winds are blowing free, all the way to Buffalo. All the way to Buffalo from Milwaukee.
Thank you for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, our look at St. Patrick's Day and all things Irish. New Wisco Weekend is produced and written by Terry Barr and Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, directed by Lisa Hale. Our lead correspondent is Terry Barr, with features from Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Joanne Krulatz, Melissa Kay, and Pete Schwaba. Our commentator is Amanda Nimmer. Special appearances this week by John Mino, Jim Schmidt, and Dennis Peters. If you have a story you'd like to hear covered, please feel free to email us anytime. Lisa.Hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Leaving you with my favorite Irish toast. May you be in heaven a half an hour before the devil knows you're dead.
While the shanks, the entrance to the straits.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.